Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Looking to cool off in the summer or turn up the heat in the winter? Then head over to Clearwater Ice Arena, Tampa Bay Skating Academy Oldsmar, or TBSA Countryside. With three locations in the Tampa Bay area, you can enjoy a wide range of hockey and figure skating activities and programs. We offer youth and adult pickup hockey and leagues, skate, shoot, freestyle, and public skating times throughout the day, so you will want to come back again and again. It's fun for the whole family. And don't forget to schedule your next birthday party or private event with us. Visit TampaBayIce.com for more information.
Initialize sequence now.
Join the countdown for actors, modeling, singers, songwriters, musicians, dancers, performers, and voiceovers from across the nation to across the world. Here with Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections on TAN Talk Radio 106.1 FM.
Hey, this is Vern Troyer, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's Hollywood Connections.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. You are watching Hollywood Connections on TAN Talk Radio with Dawn. Little foxy thing. Enjoy.
Hi, you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese, and I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's TAN Talk Radio, Hollywood Connections.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections.
Listening to Hollywood Connections, I'm Kirstie Alley.
You are listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn.
And this is Kelly Preston. I'm so excited.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream? Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't, but keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood, always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
Hi, welcome to Hollywood Connections Monday Night Special, and we are here with a film director, and he is going to be in here in just a moment. He has a new movie on Amazon Prime, and we're going to play that trailer in just a minute. We're so excited to have him here, and my special dear friend, Cassie, the soap opera star interviewer. Say hi to everybody. You're live on the air. There's your microphone.
Hi, how's it going, everybody?
She is amazing. I met her at Soap This event.
That's right. Yeah, last fall.
I know. We had all the soap opera stars from The Young and Restless.
Yep. And I got another one coming up in September, but we'll talk about that on the next show.
We're excited because, you know, I'm missing all these fun events.
I know.
I have new clothes and I can't even wear them anywhere. Yeah. New shoes. Who knew? And in the meantime, I know Bobby's got my commercials running. We've got, if you want to go cool off at the ice rink, we can do that
as
well.
That's a good idea.
I think we should. And yeah. Lazy River Splash Harbor. Oh my
there
gosh.
You go.
That is my favorite Lazy River place. So I got to tell you before Michael, comes on the air with us.
Yes.
Before he comes on the air. So, you know, I've been tithing every week, for my church. It's hard because I love Beating Hope Church. That's my church. But it's so funny, every time I tithe, I go to the casino and I win.
Oh, well, it's working. Hell, it's working.
I don't think he knows that. He's probably watching going, really, Dawn?
That was a 10% or?
Then
you got to boost it up to 20 when you start winning like that.
I know. It's like 3 weeks in a row. It's so funny. In the meantime, we have our commercials. We'll be right back with our VIP guest in the house. We have Michael.
Andrew Michael Kranz.
Andrew. Why am I saying Michael?
He looks like a Michael.
Michael. Andrew. Like Michael. Oh, my God.
In my music, I go by Drew Michaels.
Oh, okay, see, Andrew Michael Kranz. Yes, Andrew Michael Kranz is here. I should know that. He's my acting teacher. I haven't seen him in so long.
I have a song. I was wondering if you would play a song of mine called The Crusades.
We could. Yes. It's Bobby have it?
Yeah,
I do. Want to hear Crusade?
Oh. Yes.
It's heavy metal.
We like heavy metal.
The words
Surfer.
Are really interesting.
Yeah.
It's all about the Crusades.
The lyrics, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Listen to the lyrics.
Let's go. We're going to listen to Andrew Michael Kranz.
And Guinevere, my guilt. Mordred bore my sins. My knights have fought my causes. Now, my brother, I shall be... king.
Mm-hmm.
like it. Spread the word of God. I got
That's
that
right.
one.
We got the point across.
Of course, you didn't let me play my lead.
Oh! Did I just stop your lead?
Yeah, but it's all right.
You're still playing it, right?
Yeah, it's...
It's still going.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew, here.
This is called
Take Two. He wants a lead. Hold on.
Just hear my lead guitar.
He wants a lead guitar.
Metal rules.
Well, he also plays guitar, and I've been trying to get him on the air for the last year. Andrew Michael Krantz is here, and we're calling him Michael.
Mr. Krantz.
Mr. Krantz.
Come on now.
He should know me better than that.
She's still coming to school.
Anyways, Andrew.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
So you yes. have a new movie out on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
Yeah.
To be honest with me, or everybody else, it took 10 years to complete this project.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I did everything myself. I wrote it, I directed it, I produced it, I cast it, I acted in it, I edited it, I did the music for it with pizza and Coca-Cola.
Wow.
And it took that long to do.
Congratulations.
At one point, I was actually homeless and still living in a hotel.
So you are a miracle story. That's coming up next month, but... Tell us about what happened, because that leads into how you got into this.
How did this come about?
You know what it was that no matter what I did, no matter what situation I was in, I could not give up hope that I would finish the project. And I actually read the biography about how Kevin Costner did Dances with Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the actual writer was living in his car. The guy was completely had no money, and nobody wanted to touch the story.
And Kevin Costner wanted nothing to do with it. I saw the interview.
And then finally, Kevin Costner read the book, and then he was like trying to get investors, and nobody said, "We don't want to deal with no Indian story. Forget it." So Kevin Costner said, "You know what? I'll pay for it. Mm-hmm. I'll direct it." Nobody wanted to direct it. So he said, "I'll do it." Meanwhile, the writer was sleeping in his car.
Yeah.
So, and now that movie won how many awards? They did it. It was one of the best movies made, okay? So I figured, you know what? I don't care what my situation is. First of all, I promised that the actors that I would finish and the producers mm-hmm. that did put in some money into making the film. I mean, it wasn't just pizza and Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was money involved. But the thing is that I actually promised them no matter how long it takes, I will get this finished once and for all. And going through life's changes, divorces, moving here, moving there, and then I finally got it done, and I put it on Amazon Prime, and they accepted it. Originally, it was called With Extreme Prejudice, but there's about 100 movies called With Extreme Prejudice, I had to call up the union. It's a SAG film. I had a low-budget SAG film contract for a short film, but I had to call L.A. to tell them that now it was a full-length feature.
Okay.
And they changed the contract with me and everything, and they changed the title to Torn from Innocence.
So changes make a difference,
yeah,
too.
And then I loaded it on Amazon. It took about a month because they have to okay everything. And now it's up and it's there. You just go to Amazon Prime, type Torn from Innocence in, check it out. It's a police drama about human trafficking, which is a big problem today.
Yeah. That is a really big thing going on around the world right now. I mean, I'm just hearing so much controversy on it and conspiracy theory and all this stuff going on. Before I get into that, tell us more about the film.
Okay, basically, let me give you a first rundown on how I got involved with this. I was actually living in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I was looking for work. And everywhere I went, there was like Russian girls working in these clubs, whether it was a club or a restaurant. Everywhere I went, there was this, and I'm like, how do you know about Myrtle Beach, South Carolina? I didn't even know about Myrtle at that time. And I found out that all the businesses get together and they actually ship these people into the country.
Jeez.
All the local businesses do that.
So
I also found out that they do that here in Florida too. And I'm not saying it's being human trafficked, but they're using them to a degree. And they work and work and work, and then they ship them back.
Yeah.
And I actually wrote a story about it, and then I was working on a film as a crew on the movie I Am Legend. And yeah, I worked on all that stuff.
Cute.
Yeah.
Check you.
And most of the guys that are extras and stuff, they're all retired police officers. So I gave one of the guys my screenplay, and he was like, "Wow, this is a good." You know, I wrote it in kind of a Steven Seagal fashion, where it was a karate, because I studied martial arts for 35 years, and I actually taught for 15 years martial arts in New Jersey.
You showed me some moves in class one time. I was like, yeah. "Okay, that was a good one."
they come in handy.
They do.
Especially now. So anyway, they said we should make this into a movie, and I said, okay, let's do it. And basically we did it. I want to give you a quick example about the difference of, I never went to school for filmmaking. I worked on over 1,000 movies. I mean, I can't tell you how many movies I worked on TV shows in New York, anything, extras, and I eventually got my SAG card. But this is the difference. I never took a class. I met someone that actually went to film school here in Florida, and I told her I was making a short film now. I was making a movie called The Invitation. And the first thing she said to me was, well, what's your budget?
Mm-hmm.
And I was
that's what they always ask.
A camera and some actors.
Yeah. Right.
And she goes, oh, you can't do it. You have to have a budget. So basically, as far as I'm concerned, is that the film school actually tells you what you can't do. Instead of telling you to do
what you can do.
You know,
you're
what I
one
mean?
Of the That's many the other success stories. I know DeMarco Films is the same thing. He said, I got a camera, I got going, they blew up in Orlando. You know, there's so much talent. It's called the experience that you've had to where you are now.
And
that makes you a great film director.
You make the mistakes. I see all the mistakes, and you learn from them. And this way, and from that, you say, well, okay, I know not to do that next time. And you just fix it as you can. And you don't want to say, well, we'll fix it in post. No, that's the worst thing. You want to get everything done correctly. And I finally got all the film, and we sat there. And eventually, I actually walked away from it for a few years when I moved to Florida, and I started making these small independent films. And a friend of mine, Vince, actually saw some of the opening scenes. I said, hey, you want to see a movie I worked on in New York? He's like, yeah, I'll see it. And he saw this. He was blown away. He was just like, what are you doing with that? Forget about the short films. Finish that. So we actually took the film into a recording studio called Dupre Studios here in downtown. Brian Derry wrote, and great guys, and they remixed the whole thing.
Oh,
and now that the sound mix was done, we were able to put that on Amazon, and they were like, this is good. It's a gritty film.
I mean, How long is the film that's on Amazon? And is it free, or do they pay for it?
It's an hour and 21 minutes.
Okay.
You know,
do they pay for it? Is it, or is it free? On Amazon Prime? That sometimes you have to pay, we'll say, pay for a movie, or is it...
Okay, granted, if you're an Amazon Prime user already, because you pay, you get to see it for free.
Oh, okay.
If you're not, I think it costs you $2.99 to rent it. If you want to buy it, I think it's $7.99.
Okay.
And we get like half of that. But if you're a Prime member, we only get 6 cents.
Right.
But that's not the point. You see, I wasn't doing it for the money. I did it to get the exposure and to make the film and to say, I finished the film. And here it is. We have a film there for entertainment. And let's talk about something for a minute. Hollywood hasn't made a movie, as far as I'm concerned, in over 25 years. Everything's CGI. It's all Captain America, Captain Marvel, Batman, Superman, and we can go down. Every comic
movies
book.
With substance.
There's no
it's
movies.
It's all action, and they got to have an action character so that they make money.
Right,
that's
and
where
it's
they're
CGI. They don't make films anymore. So all the films that you see are coming from Great Britain or Australia, Canada.
Yeah.
But what are we doing? We're making Captain Marvel movies. Don't get me wrong. It's great. You watch the movie. It's epic
all
and all
the money.
But
all
it's there's no drama in there anymore.
No
they took it away. And that's why Hallmark has such great value.
They
have a big following.
Yeah.
And now what's happening is you have these faith-based channels now coming back where people want to see wholesome films talking about something real in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And Hollywood dropped the ball. They dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now the film industry is with the independent filmmakers. This is the best time for local filmmakers to say, you know what, we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
We can make a movie. We don't have to go to Hollywood. You don't have to have the big stars in it. We can make a movie with substance. And there's so many different platforms out there now between Tubi and Pluto and Netflix and I mean you go on and on and on and Amazon and they're all dying for content. So 24/7.
We even take the show to VH2.tv network and then 24flix.com, which is in Atlanta with 39 million homes on their Roku channel as well as their local cable.
Right.
So it keeps going and with what you're doing. So tell us more about the film that's out on Amazon Prime right now.
Yeah. Well, it's called Torn from Innocence. I play the lead police officer, detective. That's called in. I'm actually away on hiatus in China because I had problems with 9/11. So there's a lot of background story to it. Mm-hmm. And basically, some young women are being murdered in the sex slave trade, and they call me in to kind of take care of business. So I actually come in there and basically take care of business.
Take care
and take out all the bad guys.
Is this some of this true or is it fiction?
It's actually on Amazon as a documentary in a way.
Oh,
even
okay.
though it's not. Okay. Some of it's true. Everything I write, it has some sort of a truth behind it. So growing up in New York City, I'm from the South Bronx.
Hey.
And growing up in New York,
you
I've seen...
You probably have many more stories.
I have stories that... I've seen everything. So everything that you see is practically true. It's just that it's, you know, it's... The names have been changed to protect the innocent. And it's a police drama. I mean, I worked with the NYPD for 2 years. We filmed in the same location that they filmed the show Blue Bloods. A friend of mine was a police officer there in Harlem, and we actually got permission to shoot there. And that was really cool. So it's all real. All the uniforms, everything is real.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore. We go up against the Russian mob there and the Italian mob.
Oh.
I'm just saying, everybody's in cahoots with this business. And it actually ends up at the United Nations because I believe the United Nations can control this, but they're not. So I actually point some fingers towards the United Nations and I go in there and I...
Well, let me go add to something else too. What do you think was going on with? I'm hearing a lot of different stories about cover up and with everything and what's happening now with this child trafficking. You know, that's a whole nother point. And I know Andrew, you can slam dunk that one.
You want to go there?
You want to go there?
Let's
because
ahead.
It's disgusting. Yeah. It's you know what's happening. They're talking about the kids being home more and they're on the computers more and you know, I mean, not even that. I'm talking about a lot of major celebrities that they're trying to lock in. I don't want to say anything, but you know, I'm gonna hand the microphone to you on that one.
This is something that's been going on for a long, long time. I've known myself that in the 1950s down in Lower Manhattan that they've had these black cult worshiping Satanism and stuff like that, and you get me into it.
People need to know.
Basically, children have been victimized, and this is a global situation.
I know.
This is not just in the United States. This is a global underground situation, and I don't know if you heard about the Anachrom, they call it.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to wait to let you say that first.
It sounds pretty frightening where they feel as if, in actuality, this has been going on for centuries. They've actually made movies about this back in the 60s where they actually would take young children. They usually take virgins, young virgins. That's how it was in the old days. Mm-hmm. But they would take young children and get them to such amount of fear that's when they would cut them and drain their blood. And then actually shoot the blood into their own system, and they would get that rush.
Okay.
And it's like a drug. It's like a drug. It's a drug to them.
But
and
I'm hearing a lot of celebrities have been involved in that. I guess we just have to wait for the outcome and see what's going to happen.
Exactly. I can't name anybody. I'm not doing that. Otherwise, there'll be a knock on my door. I can't. I don't know. You know who's involved, but apparently Hollywood
is. Anybody wants to call?
Yeah. If anybody has a question on this or the topic, 727-441-3000. Give us a ring, and we'll put you on with Andrew and talk about this. You know, conspiracy theory thing that's going on. You know, I mean, this is the Hollywood. That's, you know, that's another thing. You know, my thing is, I'll be honest with you, I've been having a tug of war with something. And even though I have Hollywood connections and I love it, and Hollywood is me, I lived in Hollywood, California. Mm. I have a lot of film directors, producers, agents, casting directors on my show. Mm-hmm. But what's tearing me is where the name Hollywood came from. And I'm hearing stories. And now, you know, it's almost like I want to change it to Hollywood Connections or something. Because it's what I'm hearing in Hollywood, in the darkness of everything. Yeah. Even though I'm on the other side of Hollywood, I'm talking faith-based films, Christian films, like the International Christian Film Festival, all that good stuff. You know, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. And that's why...
How do you think I feel? I want to be an actor. It's been a dream all my life. I finally get into the union, and I'm finding all these dark things about Hollywood and what these people do. And I'm wondering what it is. I guess when you make so much money and you get to such a position when nobody can tell you no. You mm-hmm. know, I call it like the Elvis Presley or Michael Jackson scenario where mm-hmm. you get to such a point where everybody says yes to you. Yeah. No matter what it is. Yeah. I'm going to do this to myself. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'll look good. Go ahead. Nobody yeah. says, what are you, an idiot?
Yeah.
What are you, nuts? I'll smack you in the head. Take out the garbage.
You know, exactly.
You know, and I guess they make so much money and they just get to a point where nothing turns them on. So they get into this dark place and they don't have the faith in God and they just lose themselves and they get worse and worse. And I don't know. I don't know anybody personally that do this. I mean, I've heard stories. I listen to the QAnon stuff online and you hear these things and you wonder about it. And you just say, like, you know, Franklin Graham, he built tents there in Central Park to protect the children that they were saving on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw the cages. Somebody sent me the cages. I couldn't sleep.
I
was like, are you kidding me? This is, I mean, it's terrible. You know.
You know, the other thing is that, you know, Anthony Weiner's laptop that they grabbed from yeah. his house after he was arrested, he had the thing on there called the insurance policy.
What?
And 8 out of the 10 police officers that viewed what was on there all committed suicide.
Oh.
It was so bad.
So that's
pretty heavy.
For what yeah. they
and
heard
that came
and
out
saw.
Again, the rumors again last week.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything yeah. because I don't want to be on the list. But
right, right.
It's very horrendous what they said they saw.
Yeah.
And this is all coming out. And I think President Trump knows this and Bill Barr knows this. And these people that are in charge, they know this. And even if they were to show the American people, it is so horrendous. I don't think anybody in America would believe it.
Do you have, let me ask you, because we were talking about this, you know, wearing a mask and everything. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I get into a store, I get anxiety. You know, I can only do it so much. And then it's like, I've got to go out. I've got to run out. And I've heard this from other people. Does anybody else have an issue with that? Or
I don't wear a mask.
Okay.
I mean, I look at it like this. If you're inhaling your own germs, why? I'm not bothering you. I'm healthy. I'm fine. And now what they're doing to change that is to say, like, well, even if you're healthy, you have the antibodies in you that will still be positive. So they keep changing the goalposts constantly. So they're saying, yes, you may feel well and everything looks good, but you still wear the mask. And basically, it's called conformity. They want to see how they can control the masses. I don't believe wearing a mask is going to help you. I mean, if you're sick, why are you out?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and right. the sunshine and the air and the ocean and just being outdoors, taking a walk. I mean, the healthiness.
What's more healthy than that? But if you're sick as a dog, if I'm sick with the flu, I'm not going outside the door. I'm home in bed.
But can you notice a lot of people are so edgy in the stores? I mean, here's an example. We had to stop at a friend's house in Tampa, and I made a wrong turn, so I went down a driveway, and I turned around in someone's yard, and then the guy's chasing me out of his house down another road with his car, swearing at me that his blanking blank blank is not a parking lot. And I mean, in my face, I mean, even people in the stores, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Can I mention that?
Yes.
I was in Publix.
Yeah, you had something happen.
Down on the beach, and I'm standing here putting my groceries through, and all of a sudden I hear yelling and screaming, and I turn around, it's two men, and they're fist fighting. And it was because the one had not been walking the right arrows?
The right way. It's control, yeah.
I looked at the cashier and I said, get security. He says, I don't think we have any.
Oh.
Wow.
And I said, oh, boy. I said, just, you know, let me get out of here. But the tensions are very high some small little thing.
If I walk in a store and they ask me, how come I'm wearing a mask? I ask them, well, do you have a doctor on staff here right now so mm-hmm. they can talk about my medical condition? Because I have hay fever and I have allergies and I can't breathe. I get claustrophobic with the mask. So
yeah,
if you have a doctor on there, we'll discuss it and we'll talk about it. So, I mean, if you're sick and you're sucking in your own germs, then you're not sucking in my germs, you're sucking in your own germs.
That's right.
And I have a friend, I have a friend that's one of my acting students. He works in the hospital, and he's at my house 2 weeks ago, and I said to him, I said, hey, let me ask you, how many people are coming in the hospital with this coronavirus? You know, what's going on with that? He goes, I haven't seen anybody. I go, nobody's coming in? He says, well, maybe a couple here and there. I said, so what's going on? He says, I'm getting elderly people coming in 15 a day because they can't breathe. They're walking around with the mask on in 98 degree heat, and they're passing out because they can't breathe. Right. And they're coming in with respiratory problems.
Yep.
He says, that's what we're seeing. He says, we're not seeing anybody with the coronavirus.
Wow.
And I'm just like, wow. And you see them jogging, or you see the real fruitcakes with the mask on and the gloves driving the car with the air conditioner on. You're just like, now that's a different type of sadness. I mean, that's scary. But what it is, it's control of the masses. They want to see what they can do and get everybody to do it. And then if you don't do it, you see how people turn on you. It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where they want you to rat on each other and point out the person that's not one of them. And that's what we're going. They're setting it up for us to go against each other.
Yeah, right.
To turn each other in over a mask.
And in even our association, we cannot have guests in our pool yet.
Right.
You know, we have company. We can't have guests in our pool yet. And every time I go past that sign, you know what I say. I'm not going to say it.
But
no, but in the meantime, so Andrew, that's a very interesting point.
Well, can I bring up one other thing? I just saw it in the paper just last week because I got friends that live up in New York and Connecticut, New Jersey, and they're calling me up and they're going, oh my God, Lord, what's going on down there in Florida? You guys are like the hotbed.
Right.
And I'm
right.
Like, look, don't believe that. They go, what do you mean? I'm seeing, I says, well, it said 98% of the 500,000 people were tested positive in Florida. And then the next day it said, oh, we forgot to put the dot between the 9 and the 8.
Yeah.
It was 9.8%.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, so how many people actually passed away from the virus here in Florida that day? 128 people. I said, okay, so we have 22 million people in the state of Florida and 128 people. I says, you ever drive on I-95, on 275? You take your life in your hands just driving to Orlando. Never mind the virus. So I'm like, are you kidding me? 128 people, so you want to shut down the entire economy because 100, I mean, I'm sorry to hear that anybody pass away. I mean, you know, nobody to die of anything. I mean, sorry, but 128 people out of 22 million, and you want to shut down every business? Look what they did in California now. You can't even go to church now.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, is that and then all the people that had restaurants and they said you can open up and they ordered all the food. Now you spend millions of dollars ordering all the food, and they say, "Hey, we changed our mind. Hey, we're shutting you down now."
Yeah. You know, what I think this is just my opinion. I mean, I don't know if I don't care what you know everybody else thinks, but you know, remember that movie where who was it? Eddie Murphy was. They turned him around. He was a very poor man, and they made a dollar bet, and they said, "Let's take the money away from this guy and make this guy rich." I forgot that.
Well, remember, was that going to America or
no,
come
this,
to America?
No, this is where he was.
It's a Prince and a Pauper story. I mean, that's a classic.
But it was those two billionaires that decided to do a dollar bet. Do you remember that movie, Bobby? It's just, you probably passed your age.
I can use some Google here.
Bobby. But anyways, do you think, is this like a big bet against billionaires? You know, here, it could be a dollar bet. You know, I don't know. I just don't get it anymore.
Personally, this is part of the new world order coming to take over the United States, and Trump is saying, no, not on my watch. And basically, we really should pray for President Trump and his family because he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he's the only one standing between them and us, and they're trying to take him down every which way. Think about what they're doing on a daily basis.
Jeez.
I mean, I pray for the president every day of my life because he's just, they're coming at him for every little thing. Now they're making a thing because they said he was sweating during an interview at 98 degree heat with Chris Wallace. They said, look at him, he was sweating. Well, it was 98 degrees, and they're making a big thing about that.
Yeah.
So no matter what he does, they're coming after him. So it's just this giant globalization. By the way, I think we're going into a cryptocurrency. They're trying to do away with money. We're almost there now as it is.
Oh, heck. Every story can't
start today, and they said no coins.
Yeah.
You can take them out to Publix like I did, a big bag of coins and put them in that coin machine.
But they're doing away.
I broke
we're going to have cryptocurrency soon because you can't keep printing trillions of dollars that's worth absolutely nothing.
How much, because I've been reading Revelations, and I know that you're a Christian and you've got faith-based films coming up. Do you see a lot of the Revelations happening in front of your eyes? What is your opinion on that?
You know, somebody asked me that just yesterday, and I don't believe we're at the end of times.
I
think we're actually being awakened. I think the Lord is actually knocking on the door, telling us to awaken. And instead of going crazy, people are losing their minds, running around the streets, going crazy. I think it's a time to go within and think about yourself and ask yourself, who am I? What's my relationship with the Lord? how can I live the proper life that I need to live? How can I serve? I think everybody listening today right now should just go and help somebody, yeah. help a neighbor, yeah. do something good, and repent your sins and say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. Yeah. I want to get back to the Lord so that we can actually continue to live in peace and be in America. This is the greatest country in the world. And I do honestly believe that the Lord is knocking on your door and he's saying, what are you doing? I'm here. I'm waiting for you. Would you knock on the door and answer? I'm here to answer for you. I'm here waiting for you. And instead, people are getting upset about masks. They're running around. They want vaccinations. They want chips in their hand. They want to be able to, they're going out of their minds. Amen. And they're not going
become
into their
obsessed.
Own heart. And you know what? This is a great time to actually think about what you want to do. For me, I'm able to actually sit back and say, you know what? I'm going to write another story. I'm going to get involved in music again. I'm going to get involved with writing and making
That's what
films.
We were talking about. You brought your guitar as well. He loves. I'm going to tell you, even though he has electric guitar, is amazing. But with his acoustic, just to even jam something, just some music, just play something. You don't have to sing. You're so good.
I see music as it's food for the soul.
Yes.
And I feel so bad. You know that I follow all the entertainers, all the bands.
Yes.
I am just heartsick because of all these bars that are closing.
Right, you can't play.
And the tropicalness and the reggae music and all that great stuff.
Yeah, and all the
What do you say when you say all the bands? What do you mean? Because I've seen every band that you can think of. You name
You want my favorite one? I'm talking in the area.
Okay,
I'm talking here in the area because I go to, you know, bars on the beach and all the.
Do you teach? Wow.
I just picked up the slide last night. I've never played a slide.
I've never seen that.
I never played a slide in my life.
That's cool.
That's amazing. So do you have the patience? Do you have the patience to teach guitar?
Sure, I teach one of my acting students now, Leventis.
Oh, so...
He comes down once a week, once in a while. I teach him.
Okay.
I have another girl that's supposedly going to be taking some classes. Yeah.
So how much do you charge for guitar lessons?
Oh, it's like, you know what? I haven't really, I keep telling them $25 an hour, and we end up jamming for hours, and we don't even pay any money. We just start jamming.
Where's your number?
1-800-CALL.
Yes, call Andrew.
Call Michael Kranz.
Andrew, now you're calling Michael.
Facebook, you go on Facebook, you know, you just look me up on Facebook and message me, you know.
Okay.
That's right. And if you want to get in touch with Andrew, Michael Kranz, you can get in touch with me on Facebook or call the station 727-441-3000. You know, my husband and I have a Keith Urban guitar.
Oh,
and I thought
he's a good guitar player.
I know. Well, I helped cast for HSN for one of the producers. I used to fill up Randy Jackson, Keith Urban, and so we got the guitars and we were on HSN. So the other day, my husband's in the other room and I'm thinking he's playing, but it was Keith Urban because he put the CD in. It wasn't. He left the room. I'm like, you're really good.
Yes. Did it come with videotapes or how?
It has like 10 CDs, but yeah, and I have a piano at my house too. That I haven't even tuned yet.
Can I tell you what we're planning to do right now? Listen to this. This is something new because because we're all locked inside,
right.
Instead of going out of your mind and sitting there watching fear-based TV all day. I don't have TV. I I don't even pay for TV. But I'm just saying that I decided, I said, well, I can't teach acting classes because we can't all get together anymore.
I want to tell you, your acting classes are so amazing. I mean, he really gets into Stellar Adler and
Stanford Meisner, Lee
really,
Strasberg.
Really good.
I do all that stuff. Yeah. Dan Slotsky. Yeah, I study. I trained my alumni from the Actors Studio.
But John, you were really so involved with your students and me with just taping us and showing us from the beginning to the end, and with my comedy to get more drama.
Well, you know, I actually had somebody asking me to do like a master class online, and I was going to make a series of master classes, but I can sit and talk about acting from now until the cows come home. But the reality is, it's up to you as the actor to stand. It's a big difference now to stand in front of your classmates and do your scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could talk to you about it all day long,
right.
But until you take your scene,
yes,
and you stand in front of your class
and do it,
and you got your feeling in your stomach, do I look at my hair? Oh my God, yeah. Am I going to remember my lines?
Right.
And everybody's just sitting there looking at you saying, go ahead. That's the big difference.
Yeah.
So I actually said, you know what? I'm not going to do the master class online. That's for people that have been doing it for many years, and I can give you inspirations on certain things. That's cool. So now I change it where now I think I'm going to give the history of rock music through the eyes of the guitar,
nice,
the electric guitar, going back from the 1950s right up until now. So what we'll do is we're going to start a web series where we're going to start with like Bill Haley and the Comets and show how the guitar was just a basic guitar, you know, no, just mm-hmm. guitar to amp, and work on up to Scotty Moore playing with Elvis Presley, moving into Chuck Berry, which was like he was like the Jimi Hendrix of the 1950s. And we can talk about why he was put in jail and Little Richard and why they were locked up and everything like that. And I'll go into that detail. And then everything changed into the Rolling Stones, into the Beatles, because the Beatles would come and sing Love Me Do, and they got high with Bob Dylan, and Bob Dylan said, after smoking a couple of joints, said, Love Love Me Do, man. He says, why don't you sing something for real? And then they came out with Rubber Soul and Revolver, and then they started coming out with Sgt. Pepper's. So it was Bob Dylan that actually got the Beatles to actually get really into writing songs instead of saying, I want to hold your hand.
See, you're good in that you're educating.
Well, that's what I want to do, and I want to show how the sound of the guitar actually changed, and I will demonstrate the sound of the guitar playing it. And then, of course, as the psychedelic age came in, how Eric Clapton came in with the wah-wah pedal, and then Jimi Hendrix invented all these sounds with different pedals, and I have all the pedals, and I can show you how all the different effects enhance the music of the guitar, and how
that's
it went from
phenomenal.
The Ventures up to guys like Joe Satriani and Steve Vai into Dream Theater and Metallica and Judas Priest and Black Sabbath, who I
see
used
a documentary
play
in film festivals for that one. That would be really good.
I played in a band where we were the best Black Sabbath tribute band in the tri-state area for many years. Tony Iommi. I've seen them so many times, and we used to play them, and we were the best. We did all Iron Maiden stuff, and then we did our originals, too.
What do you think of this? Maybe in August, I'm thinking we could get some actors here, mm-hmm. and we could do a scene study on the air. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be kind of deep?
That would be really cool to see.
Then they're on the cameras. They got the YouTube. We got the Facebook. Maybe we could get every half hour, and then they come in, and they can have class on the air. Would that be kind of heavy?
I'm all for it.
I mean, you sit around a table and you have a screen and you see it and you just look at it and everybody takes a turn trying to do
it. It's kind of like old time radio, which I was trying to bring back of story time. I wanted to do like a story time on the air.
Well, there you go. That's so cool to be able to read a classic story online.
Exactly.
And just put it on the radio. And that's how they did it years ago, because I believe people are starving for entertainment. There is absolutely nothing on TV.
Yep.
There is absolutely nothing on TV that makes you laugh, that you're just like, are you kidding me? I mean, mm-hmm. this is ridiculous. So I think people are starving for entertainment.
Absolutely.
And I think that everything's gone political, so you can't get entertained.
We need to get away from that.
Yeah.
Now, could you take like the three of us and give us a script and kind of give us a little, and then we could do that?
We could ad lib something for a minute?
But right now, at the top of my head.
Well, actually, I think that's a good idea. Okay, here's what we're going to do. All right, he's also an amazing acting teacher. Oh, so just give us a little scene. of something and say, Dawn, you're going to do this, Cassie, going to do this, and Devin, you're going to do this.
How about being on the spot, huh?
Yeah, on the spot. Sure, this is the fun part. This is ad-libbing.
That's right. That's
okay. Right. But we can't. We have to watch our language because we're live on six stations, 3 FM, 3 AM.
Okay, let's say that you're a taxi driver, Uber driver. Let's say an Uber driver.
Okay.
And you have a woman in the back seat that is 9 months pregnant. She's about to have a baby. And you're driving over to Brooklyn Bridge. And there's a demonstration. And you have to get her to the hospital, and she's about to have that baby.
She's pregnant. You're the Uber driver.
I'm the Uber driver?
I'm the driver.
I'm the mama.
I'm the mama.
No worries. And I'm going to take you through this.
Help me.
Keep calm. No,
it's
screaming.
It's so bad.
No.
All right. Hi, I'm your Uber driver, Dawn.
Hi, Uber driver. Get me to the hospital.
Where? The fastest way possible. I am doing that right now.
You're doing the wrong thing.
Okay. Wait. You're about to have a baby now in my car.
The placenta is right now in my car.
Oh no!
Very important.
Demonstrators are hanging out in front of you banging on in front of your car right now.
Father, in the name of Jesus, make sure this baby is not coming in this car. Let me get her to the hospital.
I gotta tell you, she's having twins.
Of course, so, me, I would just step on the gas and I would just go. I would just step on the gas and get you to the hospital in time, you know.
Thank you.
And tell you to breathe. And you would curse at me. I understand. That you would curse at me.
Yeah, I get out and say, demonstrators, hey, we got a baby coming, and come on.
We're in a life and death situation
here.
Well, he has a lot of scripts and screenplays and everything, which is really helpful to make, and monologues.
Well, we're working on the mustard seed also, too, where, let me just give you a scenario. I'll give you the first 5 minutes of this movie. Okay, the scene opens up where it's a jail, you see the hallway of the jail cell, and a correction officer is walking down to the jail cell, and he's opened up the jail, and a young girl gets out, and she's like really skinny, I mean real thin, and she's just like been through a lot. And they walk her to the point where they, you know, they give you back your stuff. She just did like 2 years in jail, and they're giving her back her cigarettes and her this and that. Her cigarettes are old, and they're giving her keys and stuff. And then she walks outside, and her father picks her up, and basically they don't say a word. And her father gives her a fresh pack of cigarettes, and he asks her if she's hungry. And they go, she says, yeah, I'd love a cheeseburger. And they go, okay. And they go to the diner. And basically what it turns out, and this is based on a true story.
Oh, this has me sold already. Oh. I'm sorry. Okay.
While she's getting her stuff from the police officer, she has a crumpled piece of paper. And as she opens it up, it's a picture of an ultrasound of a baby. So now the audience is saying, well, there's something going on there.
What's
a baby
happening?
What's going on? Yeah. So basically, she was in jail, to get to the chase anyway, for having a child born addicted to crack. Okay? And that's what happens. Once a baby's born addicted to crack, they put you in a hospital and the head jail, and they take the baby away. And I met a woman. I was working, okay? And I was met this woman, and the baby was crying. She was like, literally like 60 years old, and she had this little baby, and the baby was crying. And I was trying to make a joke. I said, well, that's good lungs. That's good for the baby. And she's like, you don't understand. This baby's been born addicted to crack cocaine. Mm. And I was like, really? She goes, yeah. She goes, that's all. The baby's in convulsions all the time. She goes, I'm 60 years old. I don't have, you know, I don't have my time to get Social Security. My husband's got to work two jobs. I'm here with this child. The daughter is in jail. She's pregnant again by somebody else, and I'm stuck with this baby that I'm trying to take care of, and she says, and we're dying. And I says, really? And she says, and when I went to court, she says, the court was filled with grandparents taking their children home with them. 60 years old, 65 years old. This is real.
It's another epidemic.
And this is huge here.
Yes.
And I just said, there's a story there.
Yes.
And basically what we want to do now is what the woman's going to go through is that she's going to go back home. Her and her father loves her. The mother is just like done. You know, she's dealing with the kid. Mm-hmm. And she goes into her room and she gets angry. So she climbs out the window and robs the father's car, goes back to the old bar that she used to hang out with, and meets the boyfriend. And he's got to be a real piece of trash. And he's like, come on, babe, we're going to get high outside. Come on. And they go outside to the alley, and basically she gets high, and she ODs because it's cut with fentanyl and all this other stuff, and she falls down dead, and he just looks at her, and he just walks away, leaves her in the alley. And at that point, it's pouring rain, and that's when she goes, and she has a revelation, and she actually has this experience with Christ. where Christ actually talks to her. I have all this written down. Yeah.
So people are going to be asking, I know we only have a few minutes, so I'm going to have to give you to talk about what you do
as well.
No, no, but also, are you going to be casting this soon?
And the thing is now when she comes back out of her coma, okay, and she opens her eyes, the first thing she sees across the street is the church. And she crawls to the church, and she bangs on the door, and the minister brings her in and helps her, and they have coffee. And then that's when they start developing an idea of something, a club called the Mustard Seed, where they're going to get everybody in the area together to build up a faith and find truth within themselves.
Oh, Andrew, this is going to be wonderful.
I can't with you. You're fantastic.
Yeah. Do I have a reporter job in there?
Oh, my God.
And, reporter on the scene?
On that right now,
I'm putting him on the spot again.
And of course, since the police have been defunded, there's no police to call, so the people themselves have to take the town back. And of course, the minister, who used to work special ops in Afghanistan and Fallujah, has a little kind of a background to him where he can help out in certain ways that nobody knows about.
Wow. More, you're going to have so many movies on Amazon Prime. Actually, Andrew has a movie right now on Amazon Prime. Tell everybody that movie again.
Torn from Innocence. Just type it in. Come
there
on. We
go.
Need some reviews. Let's
get
it.
There
you
go.
Yeah, well, I'm live on TikTok. Thank you, everybody, for watching. We are live on 6 Station 3, FM 3 AM. And then also, I have to introduce, because Cassie does something pretty phenomenal as well. And she drove all the way over from St. Petersburg. Yeah. And she's got another business that she does. And we're going to be doing a charter business for a sailing pretty soon. So we got a 37-foot Endeavor. Get ready in August. We're taking you sailing very soon. But Cassie, take it away and tell us what you're doing.
Well, I have a side hustle, which is CBD oil. It's CBD Pure for Me. And we have a great lotion for pain. That's probably the number one seller. And the number two is, because a lot of people don't like the taste of the CBD oil, and we have it in capsules.
But
the capsules are good.
For like arthritis, like people that suffer from arthritis, it really helps them?
It's good for anxiety, pain, depression. My disclaimer is I'm not a doctor. I just can tell you what it did for me and what it's doing for my clients, and it's
that's what matters.
Yeah, really.
So where do they call you, look at your website, where do they go?
My website is CBD Pure for Me, the number 4, and check out the website and all the products that I have there.
How's it helped you? What was it that brought you to that?
My story, I don't know if we've got time. I had a stent put in about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and my anxiety, and I was never anxious, and I couldn't sleep. I had a friend in Alabama, and she said to me, "You've got to try the CBD oil." And I said, She sent me some.
Yeah.
And like within a day or two, I asked my doctor. That was another
smart
thing.
And
he said, "Whatever's going to help you."
Yeah.
And from there, it was just
so
phenomenal.
All these people that are wearing masks that have anxiety can call you
they
can call
it. They don't get it.
Anxiety, depression, but as I say, I'm not a doctor. I can't say that it's not, and it doesn't cure anything. It's just it helps. Yeah. And it's organic. Company has been around for 10 years, so, and it's very, very, very good.
So what are the testimonies, some of the people that have been on it?
Yeah, they're all on the site. Everything is on the site.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay.
And go to my Google, Google me and people. And Chrissy's got great results.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. And you're on Facebook, right, as well? Mm-hmm. Tell everybody your Facebook.
CBD Pure for Me.
Ooh, right?
Cassie Jenkins.
Get your song, girl.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exciting, because especially now, like you said, there's so much anxiety out there that people need to just chill out and just, if they can't.
But people have to know, too, that Facebook, Twitter, Google, they don't allow CBD advertised.
Oh.
Really?
Really.
Really?
Interesting.
Well, when you say, but you're on it.
I kind of go in.
She lays under the covers.
Just say,
Let her
I just, every so often, I just let my people know, and then they get in contact with me. But it's federal regulations, because a big pharma is trying to get their hands on it. But I'm working with someone right now, so.
Well, I want to thank you for the birthday gift, because last week was
welcome.
My birthday, and that was, yes, I turned the big 60.
Wow.
I did. You're not 60. You are not.
I'm on Social Security here. What are you kidding me?
So I know people are going to say, is Andrew single?
Yes.
And her single.
Single and ready to mingle.
Single, yes.
Single and ready to mingle. Andrew is single. So, you know, you have other movies coming up as well. Like, what is your plan? What do you want to do?
Well, right now we've just got the Torn from Innocence on Amazon Prime, so that's a big push.
Oh, that's huge.
We actually put that on President Trump's Twitter page.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because we said we know you're fighting human trafficking, so we actually put that post on the air with the link. I don't know if the Secret Service will call me. I don't know. But they can always delete it.
If they do, then you know that you're doing something right.
But that. I'm hoping that everybody at least looks at it and basically help the local filmmakers, because I believe that Hollywood is history. I believe we can actually bring Hollywood here in Florida.
Yeah.
I don't see why.
Yeah.
We have so many talented people here, mm-hmm. and so many filmmakers here,
yes.
and so many people that have stories, and it's such a good location. I know mm-hmm. it gets hot. It's hot everywhere right now. It's summertime.
Right.
But we have about 9 months of just perfect weather.
Preach.
I mean, just perfect weather here. And why we're not doing more work here, I don't understand it. So Hollywood... You know, people want to hear stories. They want to see stories.
Yeah.
They're tired of seeing Captain Marvel.
Yeah, that's
the way that is.
And look what you said. You said you were canoeing or kayaking.
Yeah, I was kayaking just last week. Yeah,
yeah.
It was great. And my friends come from California, and my friends came from Virginia, and we were out there at Cala DC Island, you know, doing a bit, looking at the stingrays.
Nice. Exactly. Fish.
Dolphins were right in front of me. I mean, you can't beat that.
You can't.
That's true.
Oh, I grew up in New York City, and I actually spoke with my friend because we want to make a part two to Torn from Innocence.
Right.
And I had the police, he's retired now, and he called me up, asked me about it. But he said, Andy, he said, it's just like a war zone here. It looks like, doesn't even look like, it looks like Beirut or something, or Syria. It's just horrible.
That's said, cool. So,
are you on Twitter?
Stop.
Are you on
Twitter? I am, but I never answer because I think I would say too many things.
Well, I want to also say...
But I am on Twitter.
Yeah, you're a big Twitter.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, you like Twitter.
8,000 followers.
The 8,000?
Really?
Yeah. Nice. I heard Christy Alley's on Twitter a lot as well.
Oh, yeah, I follow her.
And it was really sad before we end, you know, with Kelly Preston passing away. She was one of my interviews. And if you have a chance to go to YouTube and put in Dawn Reese, or actually Kelly Preston, you'll see one of the interviews I did with her. And she was so delightful and so amazing. You know, our hearts go out to the Travolta family, because I mean, here they have everything, and you know, here Kelly was so precious, but you know, God has another angel in heaven.
Nobody knew.
They kind of kept that quiet.
Personal.
But look at it, we have 2 minutes left, and it goes so fast.
Thank you, Dawn.
No, it's been a pleasure to have Andrew Michael Grant.
This one quick. I mean, really, this was the fastest show that I've ever done.
We're working on more sponsors. It's been very hard, because if you'd like to sponsor the show or you like what you see, I have a PayPal account on my TikTok that helps pay for the show. We are trying to go out and find sponsors. Of course, with everything mostly shut down, it's been very difficult. So we pay for our own airtime. And so we want to thank everybody for being here. And Andrew, give everybody your social media.
Okay. Well, I'm on Facebook, Andrew Michael Krantz. I also have Crescent Wave Entertainment. You can go on there. I can, I have a Twitter account, phone number 727-326-2467.
There you
go.
Give
me a call, we'll make a movie.
There you go. And remember, PayPal, Dawn Reese, show at yahoo.com. Cassie, give your website one more time.
CBD Pure For Me, the number 4. .com.
There you go. And we want to thank Devin here helping us out and being our assistant today. Remember, we're going to be back next week with the Beauty Queen special on Tuesday, and then I'm going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be back. I think I'm going to go Bobby on a Wednesday. We're probably going to talk to Lola and see maybe Wednesdays. Wednesdays are good, 6 to 7, drive time or so. I'm Dawn Reese. Remember, give God all the glory and honor in your life. Watch things happen, and I'll be back next week. Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade.